The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, it is, and it's a Tuesday. And guess who is on the show on a Tuesday? Female women. Go figure. Female women. Yeah. All right. Laugh. It will be here because it's Tuesday. I got to tell you, we are still so knee deep in opposite world. You know, just trying to follow the Trump world narrative is exhausting. As I said yesterday, you know, with the interview with Brad Friedman, I have not been following along as I usually do a big news story, every detail of their claims of voter fraud and the Dominion voting systems and Hugo Chavez and the Cubans and the communists, and because they're living in some other out there universe. You know, a perfect example of how Donald Trump twists everything to, you know, suit his purposes. And actually, I'd heard the last couple of minutes of Randy Rhodes because I follow her on Progressive Voices Network. And she was saying, you know, in the 2016 election cycle, think back, get back in your time machine. All Donald Trump did was complain and bitch about how this election was going to be was being rigged and it was all fixed and it was all phony and nothing was real. And then he won. And you never heard a word again about the supposed rigged, fixed, fraudulent election. Because Donald Trump thinks that if people vote for him, those votes are legitimate. But any votes for the other guy, well, they're fraudulent. I mean, you heard him say he didn't get 80 million votes. Maybe not. But I'd say at least 40 million votes were against you. Mine was. I would have voted for my dog Jackson for president over Donald Trump. And he Jackson would have done a better job. But I'm telling you, I feel like we're living through this new reality show. Because, you know, there's nothing real about reality shows. We'll call it the surreal world. Donald Trump is now demanding, his latest demand, that Republicans call off the Georgia special election. Call off the Georgia special election. He tweeted at the governor of Georgia, who is a Republican, by the way, Brian Kemp. He tweeted, "Do something, Brian Kemp. You allowed your state to be scammed. We must check signatures and count signed envelopes against ballots. Then call off election. It won't be needed. We will win." And then he retweeted the Gateway Pundit, some nonsense about Dominion. Yep. Again, Trump claims any votes cast for him are legit. Any cast for Biden are fraudulent, just like any Republican governor is acting within the rules, within the law. But Democrats of those Democrat states, they're all I don't know what he says, whatever he says. Mark Elias, you know, the lawyer who I believe is working on these or against these voter fraud claims, tweeted just a few minutes ago. New, Sidney Powell and her crack and crew have filed another conspiracy theory lawsuit, this time in Wisconsin. I can now safely predict that when all is done, Trump and his allies will have lost 50 plus post-election lawsuits. They're currently at 1 in 39. But it gets better. It gets better. And it got better today when Attorney General William Barr apparently told the Associated Press that the Justice Department has not uncovered any evidence of widespread voter fraud. Again, because my mouth got all tied up in knots, the Justice Department has not uncovered evidence of widespread fraud. And then I got to play this for you. because we know that Brian Kemp, who is now governor of Georgia, is a Republican and not one of the, you know, reasonable Republicans either. I believe that he, you know, Stacey Abrams should be sitting in that seat right now, if not for the machinations of then Georgia Secretary of State Brian Kemp, who I believe tweaked some knobs, did some of what Republicans do to ensure that he won the election, actually to ensure that a number of reliably Democratic voters in Georgia could not vote, that their votes wouldn't count. Therefore, Brian Kemp won the governor's office. Do I think that was a free and fair election? Hell no. Do I think Brian Kemp had his finger on the scale? Big time. But now Donald Trump is calling him out and saying, do something. Well, Gabriel Sterling is the voter, is the voting implementation director in Georgia. And a short while ago, Gabriel Sterling took to a microphone, and here's what he said.
Someone's going to get shot. Someone's going to get killed. And it's not right. It's not right. I don't have anything scripted. This is, like I said, I'm going to do my best to keep it together. All of this is wrong. The Geneva, who said for Chris Krebs to get shot, is a former U.S. attorney. He knows better.
Yep.
The people around the president know better. Mr. President, as the secretary said yesterday, people aren't giving you the best advice on what's actually going on the ground. It's time to look forward. If you want to run for re-election in 4 years, fine, do it. But everything we're seeing right now, there's not a path. Be the bigger man here and step in, tell your supporters, don't be violent, don't intimidate.
Hello.
All that's wrong, it's un-American.
Yes, it's un-American. Again, that was Gabriel Sterling, a lifelong conservative Republican, as is his boss, the Georgia Secretary of State, whose name escapes me at the moment. But he's also taken Trump fire in recent days because he's trying to do his job, which is to report the actual votes, the will of the people of the state of Georgia. Gabriel Sterling said, as part of this statement, that a technician in Gwinnett County was told he should be hung for treason. The Secretary of State's wife is getting sexualized threats. These are Republicans. And by the way, these are the same Republicans who have been screaming, oh my God, those horrible liberals, those Antifa people, they're gonna be violent. But they're the ones who are threatening election officials, Republican election officials. They're the ones walking around with semi-automatic machine guns. They're the ones making us feel less safe. They're the ones who are dangerous, not us. It is opposite world. I've talked about this for years, but never, ever has it been more apparent than it is now that we are living in some very, very weird dystopian movie that never could have even gotten made in another era because it's just too outlandish. This just doesn't make any sense.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
I swear my head's gonna explode. So I think I need something kind of funny. So I've got so many to choose from right now, but since we're talking Georgia, we should probably talk Georgia. And in fact, our buddies at Founder Sing, with a little help from Paul McCartney, have a song about that. Take it away, Founder Sing. Here we go. Ah, let me do this. And do this.
Though we find ourselves winds of trouble, we can change our destiny. Georgia, you can flip them, Senate seats. With Ossoff and with Warnock, we can take back the majority. Break McConnell's grip on Senate seats. Senate seats, Senate seats. Flip them both, that's what we need. So come on, Georgia voters, set us free. System of corruption, lies, and naked greed. We can cure this cancer, guaranteed. But each state's on a mission, gonna write the course of history, showing that we stand for democracy. Senate seats, Senate seats, flip them both, that's what we need. So come on, Georgia voters, set us free. A principled Republican, like Raffensperger would agree, got to guard each voter's dignity. We'll wake up to the sound of cheering, ringing out on every street, singing songs of healing and unity. Yeah, Senate seats, flip them both, that's what we need. And let's thank Stacey Abrams and her team. Yeah, Senate seats, let's march on to victory. MLK stands with us eternally.
We've had enough. Enough psychotic tweets.
They forgot the word. Whoa.
Enough supporting fascism.
The media sucks! I'm gonna want to get you.
Enough of QAnon.
Kelly Loeffler got a polarizing endorsement today from fellow Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Greene's history of supporting QAnon is well documented.
The FBI raised concerns over the potential for violence linked to such fringe theories.
Enough attacking democracy.
The Secretary of State reiterated today no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
Senator Perdue and Senator Loeffler have lied to Georgia voters.
Enough looting.
Both of Georgia's U.S. senators are under fire.
Bought and sold stock shortly after a private Senate briefing on the virus.
Enough lies.
You know President Trump was caught on tape talking about sexually assaulting women.
Grab him by the...
I'm not familiar with that.
Enough.
Kamala, 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 Kamala.
Enough. Enough. We've had enough of Perdue and Loeffler causing pain and chaos in Georgia. It's time for change.
We're all Americans. We're all in this together. We rise or we fall together.
We gotta redeem the soul of America. The stakes are so high, we gotta win the future for all of our children. Are you ready to do it?
Vote Warnock and Ossoff. Enough is enough.
Here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, it is every Tuesday. Gotta Laugh joins me to shoot the shit about what's going on in the news. For that, we raid Laffy's Twitter feed. But first, we got to get her on the line because, you know, we've got all these buttons and things to push, and I got to make sure she's there. Hello?
Yes, you reached the Trump shit show hotline.
Cool.
Press 1 if you think after the recounts, when Trump blamed his election loss on dumps, big massive dumps, we finally understood why he kept complaining about low flush toilets. Press 2 if you think the hashtag Diaper Dawn was trending because of all the times they had to rush Trump from the Oval Office to the changing table. Press 3 if you think the hashtag massive dumps trending was perfect for Trump, who, since losing, is now number 2.
I'm not a baby.
Number two means poopies.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Then he said,
just had to make sure.
I'm not a baby.
I'm not a baby.
Yes. Actually, he is.
Yeah.
He's a big, big baby. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yep. So, how's your day going?
Well, other than every time, for some reason, when you start the show, it's completely inaudible to me.
That's so weird.
I know. Did you get my text?
No. Well, no, but I saw your note in the NicoleSandler.com chat room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. It gets really distorted and loud, and I can't understand a word you're saying. And I don't know if you do anything, but all of a sudden
no,
it just settles
that's
down.
Weird. That's weird. And we went through a whole thing last weekend to get the audio levels working, and I thought it was all good.
Right. This is the third week it's happened like this. So it's something maybe.
You know what it is? You know, I have a special setting tweaked for you so that you can hear things that I play through this computer. Mm-hmm. In technical parlance, I turn off the mix minus for you. So you might be hearing a little bit of feedback because you're not supposed to be hearing this channel coming back to you. And we jerry-rigged it so that you can. And so maybe that's why.
Maybe it goes away. I was
because
like
the YouTubers are really good usually at telling me when my audio is bad. And believe me, that happens often enough. But I don't see any warnings.
No, it's fine now. It settles down after. It takes about 5 minutes. Oh, did you leave me a message?
Yeah, I asked you if you were trying to tell me something because you were. Oh. I could see you out of the corner of my eye because Laffy comes up, just so you know, on a monitor to my left. And when she's not on the screen with me, when she's on with me, I can see her as I'm looking straight ahead. But she comes in through here and I'm talking at the beginning of the show and I see you gesticulating madly.
Yes.
And I'm like, what is she trying to tell me?
I was pointing to my phone.
Okay.
Like, Look at your phone.
No, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
No,
it settled down. So I'm going to assume now, because it's happened like 2 or 3 times, that it's just going to work out after a few minutes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
so here we are. Female women. We're female women.
A lot better.
Yeah.
I'm a female woman and I feel a lot better being a female woman, knowing that somebody who respects female women is going to be president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's
it
a good thing.
It makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the weird thing is, and this female woman thing, I guess we shouldn't leave it hanging, came from the wonderful Kayleigh McEnany. Yes. Kayleigh McEnany, who is, for some inexplicable reason, the White House press secretary. And this morning, I guess, she took exception to Brian Karam, who's a friend of the show, who I think is a great reporter, happens to write for Playboy magazine, but he's their White House correspondent. And he asks a lot of good questions when he gets the occasion to ask one in the White House briefing room. But today, I don't know what happened. I think he did his usual thing, trying to get her to answer a legitimate question. She goes on Fox and claimed that he was shouting misogynistic, sexist things at her. And you got to listen very carefully to the very beginning of this clip because it starts right with her. If you're a female woman. So I want to make sure you hear it correctly.
You're a female woman in the Republican Party who takes that podium. Guess what your worry is? Having a Playboy reporter shout questions at you, demeaning, misogynistic questions during a briefing.
Really?
It's a double standard. It's one that's ridiculous. And one that
Yeah, you know what? I think it is a double standard. Because if I recall correctly, Kayleigh, Miss Ninny, your boss is the most misogynistic, sexist man I've ever had the displeasure of listening to, or one of. I mean, he's in good company, but grabbing women by the pussy.
Yeah.
Does that ring a bell? Who's misogynistic?
Offensive.
Who's demeaning? Who? Yeah. Who? Who?
Yeah.
Sorry. Just had to get that out.
Or locking women in cages.
Or that,
problem.
Too. Or giving them hysterectomies.
Yeah.
And then deporting them.
Against their will, by the way.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Giving them hysterectomies against their will and then deporting them. Because those women who said they were had their ovaries ripped out of their bodies have been deported.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
In case you were wondering.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's you want to go to the Twitters? Because I added a couple since we talked.
Sure. And the Twitters are on fire today. So somebody let loose. The Barneys!
Welcome to my tweet fest.
All right. So.
Twitter time. I gotta find him. That's always good. It's always good to put him up so that I'm ready for you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to read something that Ellie Mistal just
tweeted. Uh-oh. Okay. I'm always game for an Ellie Mistal tweet.
Without having read the whole thing.
But it's okay. It's Ellie.
Okay. After what these fucking people, Rosenstein and Barr, pulled with the Mueller investigation, if Biden's new AG doesn't fire Durham immediately, I will be pissed. And white media who plan to give Biden heat for that can preemptively kiss my entire black ass. I can get into that later about what he's talking about. But I love the ending. That's why I wanted to read it. But before we do that.
Yes.
Before we get into more of that, I do hope I did include that story.
Which
if I didn't, we'll explain the germ story.
Oh, yes.
Well, if not, you'll fill everybody in. But this just came up as I was waiting to go on.
Okay.
This is from Vanity Fair.
Okay.
From Bess Levin. The Obamas are producing a comedy series about Trump being a giant fuck up. Millions of people spent the last four. Okay, I should cut to the. Oh, here, North Carolina GOP congressman tests positive for COVID. Who is that one?
Who did?
This is Ted Budd, Republican from North Carolina, tested positive for COVID.
I wonder how that could happen, because those Republicans, they're all so careful wearing masks and such.
And
oh,
never
wait.
With Trump while he
never
wasn't
mind.
Wearing a mask.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let me get to the point where it says... yes, and news will surely send Trump into an unhinged tailspin once he notices that Barack and Michelle are reportedly, and she links to Yahoo Finance, producing a comedy series for Netflix, quote, based on the chaotic transition of power when Donald Trump became president in 2016. The show titled The G Word with Adam Conover is a collaboration between...
With Adam Conover. He's the Adam Ruins Everything guy. He's very good. Sorry.
Oh, good. Okay.
He debunks.
In collaboration with him and the former First Couple's Higher Ground Productions, based on Michael Lewis's book, The Fifth Risk, which was born out of a September 27 Vanity Fair article. My God, so it was based on. The book covers the historic chaos and mismanagement that occurred in the Departments of Agriculture, Commerce, and Energy during the handoff between the administrations. Anyway, you can go to Vanity Fair and find out more, but that should drive him.
Ooh.
Banoonies.
Yeah,
fact,
well, everything
I tagged
drives
him. In
him.
A tweet.
Did you? Yeah, yes. You know, he gets tagged a lot because I do it too. Just, you know, because.
He never reads them.
Of course. Well, he doesn't read.
No.
Yeah.
He doesn't read.
Yeah. No.
But still, I do it just in the hopes that somebody will get really angry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that you and I were tweeting back and forth about. Court news.
Yes.
Former Trump attorney Sidney Powell. I don't know why they call her an attorney, because she's not.
Is she a member of the bar? Is she licensed to practice law?
Yeah, I just don't know where.
But
I
mean, see, the question is she still working for the Trump legal effort, Trump campaign? I don't even know who. Or was she fired? Well, right. You know, and I guess depending which way the wind's blowing, either she is or she isn't.
Right. And he refers to her every so often. Anyway, she has filed a federal lawsuit seeking to have Trump declared winner of Wisconsin's electoral votes, among other things. The suit seeks 48 hours of security footage from the TCF Center from November 3rd to November 4th, right?
Mm-hmm.
The TCF Center, though?
It's in Dallas.
It's in Detroit.
Oh, in Detroit?
No,
why did I read something that said it was in Dallas? But regardless, not in Minnesota.
Not in Minnesota. And then on top of that, this goes on, another red flag. Sidney Powell lawsuit seeks to overturn Wisconsin presidential result, lists Derek Van Orden as plaintiff. Remember, as plaintiff.
Okay.
Van Orden tells me he's not involved. I learned, this is, by the way, from, I'll have to tell you who in a second. I learned through, says that my name was included in a lawsuit without my permission. It's from J.R. Ross. Dad, husband, coach, IU grad, and mediocre golfer covering Wisconsin politics since 2000.
I like the mediocre golfer.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so they're using a plaintiff who didn't give permission, and so he's not a plaintiff.
Uh-huh.
And they got the wrong security footage placed. So.
They do this constantly. How do these people, I mean, it's a comedy of errors. I'm
so
sorry. The whole Four Seasons landscaping thing, that should have been enough to make everyone go, okay, done. It's over. Game over. Go home. Everybody just go home. Stop. But they didn't. Can you imagine if it was reversed? Now, again, the Democrats wouldn't be putting on a show like this. Not to say that the Democrats don't do really stupid things at times. And, you know, certainly not to imply that they're always the reasonable, righteous ones. But can you imagine if a Democrat tried this nonsense and then had so many fuck ups one after another and that kept going?
There's no telling what OAN and Newsmax would say.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. It's so embarrassing. Okay. Now.
Yes.
Wait, is this it? Yeah. So this broke, and we're going to have fun.
Oh, is this the bar story?
Disputing Trump, this is from the AP, Attorney William Barr,
Attorney General William Barr
said Tuesday the Justice Department has not uncovered evidence of widespread voter fraud. And Matt Berman from BuzzFeed says, Bill Barr says DOJ and DHS, quote, looked into claims from people like Sidney Powell, again with Sidney Powell, that election machines were rigged against Trump. Shockingly, he tells AP, we haven't seen anything to substantiate that.
Whoa.
Not a thing.
No. But, so then, and then, like, less than an hour later, I saw an item that said Bill Barr just arrived at the White House. And I thought,
he was meeting with Meadows.
But shortly after that, Meadows is chief of staff. I mean, it doesn't get a whole lot closer. And I'm thinking, I'd love to be a fly on the wall there. But then we learn that
Before you go on, are you going on the next story about this?
Well, yeah. You got something else there?
Okay,
go ahead.
Because otherwise it won't fit.
Oh, gotcha.
This is still on the, what do you call it? On the, there's no voter fraud.
Okay.
Yashar Ali says on Parler, you know what Parler is?
Yeah, it's the right-wing Twitter.
Yeah.
Basically,
Bill Mitchell calls Bill Barr a deep state snake and a bush plant. I had to get that in. I'm sorry. That just was too good.
A deep state. What? A deep
bush plant.
Bush plant. Oh, okay.
Or just a plant planted by Bush. Who knows? But
potted plant.
Bush plant.
Yeah.
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 Potted plant. And then to follow up also. Okay, so Barr at the White House per Caitlin Collins, there was no Barr Trump meeting on the president's public schedule for today. Now the Trump campaign releases a statement from Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis saying Barr doesn't know what he's talking about. Quote, with all due respect to the Attorney General, there hasn't been any semblance of a Department of Justice investigation. More from the statement. Again, with the greatest respect to the Attorney General, his opinion appears to be without any knowledge or investigation of the substantial irregularities and evidence of systemic fraud. Ooh, Civil War time, folks. Only it's Republicans versus Republicans, Trumpies versus Trumpies. So, yeah, they're fighting back on that. They released a letter or something.
Oh, okay. But Sidney wasn't on that letter. This was just Jenna and Rudy.
Yeah,
because
Jenna and Rudy.
They've split from the Sidney girl.
Okay, now you can move on to the other thing.
So now Barr probably realizing, oh, shit, I'm saying this. I got to have something to give him. Barr today announced, told the Associated Press, that he had appointed U.S. Attorney John Durham as a special counsel back in October.
Yes.
Under the same federal statute that governed special counsel Robert Mueller in the original Russia probe. He said Durham's investigation has been narrowing to focus more on the conduct of FBI agents who worked on the Russia investigation known as Crossfire Hurricane. In other words, the oranges of the investigation. So he did this a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, to so that made him, I guess, a special prosecutor. So that Joe Biden couldn't fire him, so that this would continue into the next administration.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the whole thing about the special prosecutor statute, if I understand it correctly, is it has to be somebody working outside of government. Can't be somebody who works inside of government. And guess what? John Durham is a U.S. attorney.
There is actually, I got to find it now. Our buddy, Marcy
Wheeler has something on
it. She tweeted something that disputed that, and I'm trying to find it because I've tweeted it to somebody. I tweeted it to a lawyer.
That disputed what I just said?
Yeah. That part doesn't apply.
And really?
I'm looking.
I'm no expert on this, by the way. I defer to Marcy Wheeler on any of this stuff because she, you know, she is one of my authorities.
Yeah. I'm looking. Here it is. I tweeted it to him, and let's see. Here it is. Somebody else. I don't think this is right. As with Rosenstein Mueller, Barr is relying on the AG's authority to make the appointment under 28 USC, then applying it to regulations. Unlike Rosenstein Mueller, Barr applies only to 600 numbers to the appointment. 600.3 doesn't apply. But then I noticed.
Yes.
That Marcy deleted the tweet was deleted. No, it's still there. She said this would give Biden's AG good reason to replace Durham and Danahy because Durham can't legally be special counsel, but Danahy can. So I don't know.
She said Durham can't be special counsel, right?
She did, but then she said, I see now why you can. And I repeated what she had tweeted out, which is all garbage talk to me because it's jargon, but you know it's legal jargon.
Yeah, gotcha. But, yeah, and again, to me,
be somebody who will clear it up for us, I'm sure.
I'm
but
sure.
There's an argument about it.
Well, no, that's okay. You know what? Go for it. I think just like the Mueller report showed, even though Bill Barr mischaracterized what was in it, it showed that there was. Not to use the word collusion, but yes, there was collusion. Yes, there was coordination. Yes, there was stuff there that shouldn't have happened. Yes, people should have been prosecuted, but Mueller chickened out. What more do you need to know? I say, go ahead, investigate away.
Oh, sure. Why not? But I don't know. It's going to end up going nowhere.
It's going to be like the other Durham investigation that turned up nothing.
And I'm sure if Biden wanted to, he could just fire anybody he wanted and replace, you know, his AG could replace Durham was.
You don't do that. I mean, if there's a special prosecutor, there's a special prosecutor. It's supposed to be hands off. That was the whole thing about why, you know, Trump could have fired Mueller, but he better not. Biden won't do that. I mean, he's already said
AG could do it.
Well, we need to know who the AG is first. Yeah. And God, I hope he picks someone with balls. And I don't mean physical balls. It can be a woman. She's just got to have the testicular fortitude to do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I couldn't agree more. Here's some more. This is a funny one. This is from the executive director of Voters Tomorrow. He said, don't worry, if Rudy loses his case in the Hyatt, then he will immediately appeal to the Supreme Courtyard Marriott.
I'm just, you know, if he loses his case in the Hyatt. Again, I heard the last couple of minutes of Randy's show on Progressive Voices before I came on the air, and she had a caller, and obviously and from behind enemy lines, and this woman's going, you know, it's all fraudulent, and Randy's, it's not fraudulent, and everything she said, but yeah, no, that didn't happen. I mean, she's just putting out the lines of bullshit that they've been force-fed because people watch OAN and Newsmax and Fox Not News.
Yeah, they have no idea about real life. And if they did, they wouldn't care. It's just like with COVID. They claim that COVID is just a something that the Democrats started up. They planted a germ somewhere and it became something. And no, it's not really COVID. And if they're dying of COVID, I'm not dying of COVID. It doesn't exist. They refuse to accept reality. And
the worst, I'm sorry, the worst, and I've cited this a bunch of times, is this a woman, a nurse from, I think it was South Dakota, could have been North Dakota, who was saying that people dying in intensive care are still arguing with her. No, it's not COVID.
That's
COVID's a hoax.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't exist. And
until even some of them, even when they get really sick, don't believe it. But other ones do when they get
some
sick,
do.
They suddenly go, oh, I see you're right. It depends on who the person is.
Apparently, Ice-T's, I think, mother-in-law was a denier until she got it and now is in the hospital and saying, OK, I see it's real.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what you can do to convince somebody who is
nothing.
That's ridiculous. Giuliani, by the way, discussed with Trump as recently as last week the possibility of receiving a preemptive pardon before Trump leaves office. It was
How
not clear who raised the topic. The men have also talked previously about a pardon for Giuliani, according to whoever, you know. So it's like, and you get a pardon, and you get a pardon,
right.
And you get a pardon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're pushing for pardons for his whole family and not Rudy's, Trump's.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think Sean Hannity, who I don't listen to, but I read somewhere that he suggested that Trump pardon everybody on his way out, the whole family and himself preemptively. And I don't think he can do that. But then again, you know, I'm
it's
not a
never
lawyer.
Been tested. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's but at least the right people will be appointing legal experts. You know, Biden's team will be at it instead of somebody else's. However, we still have all those Trump judges.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is from Schooley. Okay, so he's tweeting over Natalie Harp, who's on the advisory board, Real Donald Trump for President. And Natalie Harp, who's on the advisory board, said, for those who are afraid, what I would say to my colleagues is just be a man or a woman, not a sniveling coward. You'll feel so much better. There's nothing that elevates you more than an act of courage.
Mm.
And she said that was Rudy Giuliani's closing remarks at the Arizona hearing, the hotel hearing. And Schooley said, especially if you're working on a blanket pardon for yourself. Yes, that's how courageous he is. He's working on a blanket pardon for himself.
Right. You know, this is the guy who just is trying so hard to keep his job because he wants to play golf more, because he wants to pardon his friends, because certainly not to try to, you know, stop the outbreak of COVID-19 that's killed over a quarter of a million Americans in less than a year. No, because he needs to go out and play golf. Play golf.
He's certainly not presidenting. That's for sure.
No. No, that he's not. You know, actually, I found this clip the other day, and I thought it was quite pertinent because, you know, while Americans are dying, while COVID is exploding around the country, and after Thanksgiving weekend, authorities are you know, holding their breaths, collectively waiting for the next wave, as Dr. Fauci put it, a surge upon a surge.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump, 3 days in a row, went out and played golf.
Right.
You know, and I got to thinking, didn't I remember candidate Trump saying something about if he's president, he'll never play golf because who would have time for that, huh?
That's what Obama
did. If I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. Mm. I own Doral in Miami. I don't think I'd ever see many of the places that I have. I don't ever think I'd see anything. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off. Make great deals, right? Who's going to leave?
Make great deals.
There won't be time to go on vacations. There won't be time to go golfing all the time.
No.
I'm not going to play much golf.
Really?
Because there's a lot of work to be done. You need leadership.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fly to Hawaii to play golf. I don't know where the president was. He wasn't very far away. Maybe he was playing golf. Obama, it was reported today, played 250 rounds of golf.
Obama went golfing every day. Let Obama go play golf every day.
Obama plays more golf than professional players in the PGA Tour.
He's played a lot of golf. He's played more than most PGA touring professionals play.
Keep
more
going.
Than the guy who plays on the PGA Tour plays.
PGA yeah? Tour.
Plays more golf.
Plays more golf.
PGA Tour.
PGA Tour.
I mean, this guy. Golf, 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 golf. More, more. Learning how to chip, learning how to hit the drive, learning how to putt.
Wow.
Oh, I want more.
If you become president and you go to the White House, why would you want to leave the White House?
Really?
The White House. Who the hell wants to play golf?
Who wants to leave the White House? How the hell do you leave for 3 weeks to play golf?
If I get elected president, I'm going to be in the White House a lot. I'm not leaving.
I'm going to be working for you. I'm not going to have time to go play golf and believe you.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump has played more golf in his less than 4 years in office than Barack Obama played in eight. Just in case anyone was wondering about that. And there's a website. There's like a Trump golf tracker site that will tell you how many times he's played, how much of our taxpayer dollars he has spent at his own properties playing said game of golf, how much of our federal tax dollars are spent renting golf carts from his properties for the Secret Service agents who protect his ugly ass. I just the whole thing makes me nuts. So, again, another instance of opposite world, in case you were wondering. Laffy, are you talking? I'm not hearing you. Oh, shit. Oh, no. Hello? Now, there you are.
Okay. I was going to say, as he's spread COVID to his Secret Service.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
So here's something from Attorney Lynn Wood.
Oh, God.
Yes. This is from Gateway Pundit.
Ay.
I'm sorry. And then I'll give you Josh Marshall's little two-word response. Attorney Lynn Wood, President Trump should declare martial law to hold new election. And Josh Marshall said, full fascist.
I agree with. I've been having a little back and forth with Josh Marshall today. By the way.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's, yeah. He doesn't appreciate my displeasure with the Neera Tanden pick. And, you know, sorry, I'm entitled to an opinion. And I think, yes, it sucks that she had been, was so flippant to people like me who supported Bernie Sanders. And yes, she said rude and nasty things, maybe not to me personally, because I don't know the woman, thankfully, but to many people that I do know. And they were uncalled for and not right. But the thing that you know, I can deal with sticks and stones, they may break my bones. But, you know, I can deal with that. I've been called worse. What I can't deal with was her advocacy for, quote, entitlement cuts. We got to put entitlements on the table. I have audio of her saying that very thing. And yeah, I'm sorry. That is a non-starter for me. Calling for cuts to Medicare and Social Security, not okay. She said, well, you know, if we're going to go after the tax, you know, the rich people, we got to share the pain. Those of us who are not wealthy have enough fucking pain. We don't need any more of your manufactured pain. We have enough. We have a protection system built in. It's called Social Security and Medicare. It is designed so that senior citizens can live in some semblance of dignity and not maybe have to eat dog or cat food. The fact that she was even floating the idea of, quote, entitlement cuts, and that she used the word, I found find grossly offensive.
Yeah, no, that's
and so,
not cool.
Yeah,
that's
and so here's a little bit of what Neera Tanden, hold on, said, if it will let me play this. Here we go. Here's what she said.
I think the question really is, if we're going to have a deal to address long-term deficit reduction, we need to put both entitlements on the table, as well as taxes. It's
really
unfair to ask only middle-class Americans to bear the burden of our deficits. Middle-class Americans actually didn't create the deficits.
I agree with her on that.
So I think
they
the challenge is that we should have entitlements on the savings, on the entitlements. And
what?
The Center for American Progress has put forward ideas and proposals to reform the beneficiary structure of Social Security. Some of our progressive allies aren't as excited about that as we are, but we've put those ideas on the table. But we think that those are legitimate ideas that need.
Well, I don't. And if somebody wants to know why I have a problem with Neera Tanden, there are a lot of things, but that's the big one.
Yeah, no, that bothers me too.
Yep.
And, okay. And it's legit. It's a legit gripe.
It's, yes,
totally.
It is.
Okay, so our buddy Walt Schaub, who neither of us know, but we can still call him our buddy.
He's great. And I got to tell you, Walter Schaub, a few weeks back, said he's done. He's getting off of Twitter. I guess it served its purpose through the election.
I'm so upset.
He was gone for like 2 days.
Right. If that.
And his first tweet back was, I'm not really back, but I have to say this.
Right. Only he is really back because he hasn't stopped tweeting.
Right.
Which I'm very grateful for, by the way. But he did this long thread. Uh-huh. But I'll read you one. The setup is, and he starts it out this way very similarly with every tweet, how Republican senators find the chutzpah to criticize any nominee's tweets, and he's talking about Neera,
uh-huh.
is totally amazing. This is the party of the congressional committee that tweeted this, and he does a series of tweets that go back over time,
uh-huh.
and this one was from the House Judiciary GOP.
Right, and before you go there, Laffy, let me just say, again, what the Republicans are screaming about is, she's been mean to us on Twitter.
Right, like Trump hasn't, right? Like Trump hasn't
right.
been
so
a total
thus this
dick,
right?
Anyway, so House GOP said, House Judiciary said, Amy Coney Barrett confirmed, "Happy birthday, Hillary Clinton."
Mm-hmm.
That's a mean tweet.
You think?
Mike Lee said, "Democracy isn't the objective; liberty, peace, and prosperity are." Democracy isn't the objective. Okay, I'm not even going to read that one. I can't even stand it. What is this? Oh, and he tweeted Trump, as proven last week during a congressional tour.
Uh-huh.
The border is clean, efficient, and well-run, just very crowded. Coming district, he just tweets everybody. He retweets all these idiots after the preface of, here's one, how Republican senators find the chutzpah to create any nominee's tweets is totally amazing. This is the party of Lindsey Graham, the U.S. Senator,
no.
who said black people are welcome to go anywhere in South Carolina, but only if they're conservative. He has tweet after tweet after tweet of their horribleness and prefaces everyone with, really? You're going to do that? You're going to
mm-hmm.
go there? That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was wonderful. So Walt Schaub, WALTSHAUB, all one word at
yeah.
Walt Schaub. Follow him,
yeah.
or at least
Good
look
stuff.
At his tweets.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go with the just kidding default.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
because that's
Caitlin?
Always a perfect defense.
Yeah. Oh,
especially
defense,
for
defense.
Somebody in government, because it's their job to entertain and make you laugh. Oh, wait.
Of course it is, because
oh,
they're so
yeah,
funny.
Right, yeah.
It's so funny when they hurt people
yeah.
and kill people. Caitlin Collins tweets, quote, this is from Joe DeGeneva.
Yeah.
Who said after, and we can play the tape after this,
yes.
Says
oh.
after he said Chris Krebs should be, quote, taken out at dawn and shot. He said, quote, this is from the same guy,
yep.
Joe DeGeneva. It was obvious that my remarks were sarcastic and made in jest. I, of course, wish Mr. Krebs no harm. This was hyperbole in a political discourse.
Was it? So Joe DeGeneva, by the way, people might remember that Donald Trump tried to hire him and his wife. What's her, Victoria Tensing or something?
Yeah, Victoria
like that,
Tensing.
Right. To be his lawyers. I guess this was before Rudy, because, again, he sees them on Fox. This is how he finds people to hire. They're on Fox, not news. Then they're good enough for him. So anyway, this Joe DeGeneva guy, who for whatever reason did not become a Trump attorney, was on the Howie Carr show. Howie Carr is a right wing hate talk radio host in the Boston area. And I guess he's simulcast on Newsmax. And Joe DeGeneva said this.
Mail-in balloting is inherently corrupt.
Wrong.
And this election proved it. This was
no.
all planned, and anybody who thinks that this election went well, like that idiot Krebs, who used to be the head of
Cyber Security. The guy that was on 60 Minutes last night.
That guy is a Class A moron. He should be drawn and quartered, taken out at dawn and shot.
Nice reaction from Howie Carr. Yeah, that I think deserves a visit from the FBI at the very least.
Well, here's what Krebs said. Yeah. He said it's certainly more dangerous. This is from NBC. Mm-hmm. It's certainly more dangerous language, more dangerous behavior. And the way I look at it is that we are a nation of laws, and I plan to take advantage of those laws. I've got an exceptional team of lawyers that win in court, and I think they're probably going to be busy.
Good. And by the way, speaking of Christopher Krebs, everybody from both sides of the aisle had nothing but praise for this man. The only one who had a problem with him is Donald Trump, because he wouldn't go along with his fraud claims, because he wouldn't lie to the American people. He wouldn't perjure himself in the court of the American public.
Exactly. He was a straight shooter, as they say.
Yep.
So here's an interesting article from Newsflector.
Okay.
I don't know who the heck they are. They have a good site. I mean, it looks fine. How VP Harris can sideline Moscow Mitch. They come up with this. And we don't know. You and I talked about this. We don't know how legit this is, if this could work. But let's entertain the thought.
Okay.
If the Democrats don't win control of the Senate, there's a way to strip Mitch McConnell of his power for good. Priority recognition, it's called. According to Article 1, Section 3, Clause 4 of the Constitution, the vice president is also the president of the Senate. Mm-hmm. The majority leader is not a position that exists anywhere in the Constitution. Ooh. The reason that the majority leader has near dictatorial powers to control the floor votes is because of a tradition that dates back to 1937. The tradition is that the vice president gives the floor leaders priority recognition. Most notably, this is not a rule in the Senate. As president of the Senate, Vice President Harris could give any senator priority recognition. That senator could then decide on all legislation that is brought before the entire Senate. Even with a minority in the Senate, Vice President Harris could simply give Chuck Schumer priority recognition. He could decide what is voted on and what isn't. That would change everything. And he goes on a little bit longer. So I don't know if that's for realsies. I mean, that's the interpretation of this author of whoever this is. This is an editorial. And it doesn't list who the editor is. So, but it's an interesting thought, whether it's
for
realsies,
I don't know. And again, I'm not up to speed on Senate rules and regulations. I thought the only time the Senate president comes into play, the vice president, is when a tiebreaker is necessary. I didn't think that the Senate president has any other duties other than to break a tie, but I could be completely wrong. I guess I need to get a historian on the show.
Maybe that's just something they looked at and interpreted, and it's completely off base, but it's such a nice thought.
Look, Donald Trump for the last 4 years has taken any tiny little opening that would allow him to do something and bulldoze through it. So, you know what? Hey, Joe. Go ahead and push those boundaries.
Now, here's something that, what's his name? Jesse Waters? Is that his name on Fox?
Yeah. Jesse Waters, who used to be, I think, Bill O'Reilly's producer, who would go out and, make an ass of himself
people.
Like Stuttering John used to do. He'd, ask asinine questions to make a name for himself. And sure enough, now he's a Fox Not News personality.
He would do these ambushes. He'd follow people to their cars
and
harass them, and it was awful. I used to write about him a lot. Anyway, so he said, here's a quote from him, and then I have a quote tweet. When you pick on an all-women team, talking about Biden, what you're saying quite clearly, it's about gender and not competence. You're meaning to tell me you couldn't find one dude in D.C.? All right. So then Jesse Ferguson, a former deputy national press secretary and senior spokes for Hillary, said, "Aw, Trump's best surrogates on Fox are having a sad over the fact that their white men first view of the world seems to be crashing into reality. Poor guys."
That he really was complaining that that Biden hired an all-female communications team. Because there's never been all-male teams of any sort in any administration. In the Trump administration, of course not, because there were women and women of color and women.
Nicole, you know as well as I do that men have always been shortchanged. White Christian men have always been shortchanged, and we women get all the breaks. So I don't know what we're complaining about.
Yeah, no, I'm not complaining. I don't ever complain.
Me neither.
Never.
I'm not a fetch ever.
No. Uh-uh.
I just look at my Twitter feed. I'm just happy-go-lucky.
You and me both, my dear. me even more than you.
Yeah,
because I'm so happy-go-lucky, easygoing, roll with the punches kind of person. That's just me. What can I say?
Oh God. Okay, so here's one from Brian Tyler Cohen. He's a political host, and he said, "Okay, so yesterday when Joe Biden broke his foot,
yes,
got hairline fractures because he was playing with his dog.
I know.
Yeah, you know, it's the best way to break your foot if you're going to break your foot." Do it with your puppy.
And I've done it twice, so
you know. I've come close.
I've done it twice.
I've come close.
I'm there.
Yeah.
I know about breaking one's foot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know you do. So they were the people on the right were, you know, just bashing Joe Biden. How he's in the dark of night. Nobody, you know, he sneaked into the hospital.
Right.
And how come no one knew? Even though the cameras were rolling the entire time, and when he went in and when he went out, and he waved and everything. Anyway, so Brian Tyler Cohen said, still waiting for that Fox News report on Trump's visit to Walter Reed Hospital in November of 2019 that the White House pretended was an emergency partial
annual
physical.
We still have never gotten a complete, honest report on what that was all about. Go
That's
figure.
Right. And we never will until somebody finally digs it out somehow once he's gone. So there, Hugh Hewitt did a whole Operation Warp Speed thing and praising Trump. And SV Date, who's with...
I don't know who he's with. He's a journalist. I'm not sure.
White House correspondent. Oh, HuffPost. Here it is.
Okay.
Moderna's vaccine was designed with the National Institute of Health starting a week before Trump even heard about the virus and then publicly denied it would ever be a problem. Maybe the credit should go with government researchers and scientists.
Hello. Yeah, because Trump is going, Biden better not get any credit for these vaccines.
Yeah. I did it.
Right.
I invented the vaccine.
Of course. It never would have happened without me. And he actually said that.
Operation Warped Brain. What brain? Ari Berman had a little quickie. He said 268,000 COVID deaths in 2020. Throw a Christmas party. Zero cases of voter fraud in 2020. Overturn the election.
Yeah. And not only throw one Christmas party, they have a number of Christmas parties.
50 million. I did a tweet on it today. It's an amazing number of parties, and they don't plan on testing people.
Oh, my God. And no masks required, of course. Masks.
I think in some of them they are. But no, I'm sure not all of them. I'm sure of that. One more thing, and this is from Empty Wheel.
Okay.
One other thing about the way she did a whole bunch about the Flynn pardon, but she said one other thing about the way the Flynn pardon works. He will be asked about stuff covered by the scope of his pardon, have no Fifth Amendment privilege not to answer, and he will lie about the answers. And going forward, no competent lawyer will likely take him as a client.
Ooh. Oh,
Sydney.
Sydney. Yeah. That's the thing. Anything that he is pardoned for, he can't plead the fifth on. And Donald Trump is likely incriminated in all of that.
Oh, you know it.
And
you know it.
Yep. So, that might have backfired on him.
I wish everything would backfire. I cannot wait for the day where we see him get indicted.
Oh, God. It's the only thing, frankly, keeping me going. Because there are days, it's the only thing keeping me going. I really don't want to be here. I don't like the way this country is going. And what's going to happen we don't really have time to get into it now, but right. Donald Trump is leaving us in the same kind of a mess
yes.
that George W. Bush left us in, where we yes. were hemorrhaging 600,000 jobs a month. We are headed for a major depression because it's December 1st. Rent's due, mortgage due. No more moratorium on evictions. People are going to be homeless. They're already hungry. Food lines are miles long. This is a disaster.
On top of all of that, Trump judges are everywhere.
And Trump judges are everywhere.
Happy day!
Yeah. And on that note, we're just about out of time. So, hey, go fend for yourself tonight. Maybe a nice stiff shot of something would help.
I'm
talking
that.
A drink, not, you know, not the shooting kind. I don't
right,
like
no,
that.
No.
Drink, smoke, trip, whatever you
Do
want.
Your thing.
Do your thing.
Thing.
And just come back tomorrow. I don't know what we're doing tomorrow, but something. Yeah, something. Thank you, Gotta Laugh.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
All right. See you next week. Bye. And you all see you tomorrow with whatever we wind up doing. I'm sure something will happen to push us into action. All right. I got to go. Bye.